Well, good morning. Thank you all for coming out. I wanted to just express my gratitude on behalf of the family for your support, your presence here today to remember Rosemarie. She was a very special lady, and we get to celebrate her life this morning, and we get to rejoice in the fact that she is in a much better place, no longer in pain, no longer dealing with many of the physical ailments, and she is now in the presence of her Savior. So it's a great joy, and the support that you're showing here today, continue to show that throughout the next upcoming weeks, months, and years as we continue to mourn her passing. Before we go any further this morning, let's go before the Lord in prayer and seek His face. Father, we come into Your presence today and we give thanks to You for the abundance of Your grace given to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You for Rosemarie. Father, we thank You for the impact that she had on each and every life here today. And Father, we thank You for her strong and resolute faith in Christ as her Savior. Lord, we rejoice that it is because of that faith in Christ that she is in Your presence now. And Father, while we mourn her passing, while we miss seeing her face, hearing her voice, spending time with her, Father, we know that it is not just goodbye, but it is see you later. As Father, all those who look to Christ in faith will one day be reunited with Rosemarie in your presence before the face of your Son. So, Father, we ask that today that you would comfort our hearts, pour out your all-sufficient grace to us in this time, and may we rejoice in her homegoing. Father, we pray all this in the name of Christ our Savior, pleading his blood. Amen. We'd like to sing to rejoice in the hope that Rosemarie had, and so we're going to sing out, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine."
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. That was Rosemarie's great assurance, her hope, that she had hope in Christ as her Savior. And we can rejoice that she is with him today. We can have that blessed assurance. You know, at this time of these, at times like these, Psalm 23 has been a great comfort to people who are mourning the loss of those who were so dear to them. And I'd like to read Psalm 23 for you this morning. And then we're going to come back and look at it and see how it provides hope in the midst of difficult times like this. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rosemary has begun that dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. She continued from this life to the next, living in communion with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rosemary Greer, age 83, of Bridgeville, PA, formerly of Noblesville, Indiana, passed away peacefully into the presence of her Lord on Saturday, May 4th, with her daughter by her side. She was the beloved mother of Angela Gillott. She is survived by her sisters Shirley Webb and Marion Duvall, her grandchildren Nicholas Gillott and Emily Gillott, her great-grandchildren Lucy and Elijah Gillott, her nieces and nephews Renee Webb, Kurt Webb, Carrie Webb, Kelly Robson. Preceding her in death were her parents Orrin and Ruth Kelly, and her nephew, Tracy Duvall. She was born and raised in central Indiana and grew up on a farm. She was a band majorette at Noblesville High School. She graduated in 1958 and was an active member of rural youth. You got to look at the clipping on the board of her with all the majorettes there. She attended Indiana Business College after graduation and was employed for 39 years at Conrail in Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia in the rail car management department. She also participated in ABWA while with Conrail in Indianapolis. As an Indiana resident, she was a member of Prairie Baptist Church in Noblesville, Indiana, and Edgewood Baptist Church in Anderson, Indiana. Once in Pittsburgh, she faithfully attended here at Bible Baptist Church. She transferred to Philadelphia with Conrail, where she later retired and returned to Pittsburgh to be with her daughter and her grandchildren. She formed a Red Hat Society chapter within her community at Cloverleaf Estates West and was also the social director there for a time. She was definitely the social butterfly. While living at UPMC Vanadium Woods Retirement Center, she was a designated greeter for new residents and also led the community to collect holiday donations for the staff. She was known for her colorful attire and jewelry. She did like to wear the flamboyant colors. Her famous Rosie's Pizza, taco salad, mac and cheese recipes, as well as her lovely flower bed of course, roses, petunias, geraniums, and marigolds. She loved and adored her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren immensely and could always be seen attending her grandchildren's sports games and school events. She was often told she looked like a triplet with the two sisters with whom she had a wonderful childhood and great memories with on the family farm. She will be missed tremendously by her family And they're grateful that she is now in the presence of her Savior, no longer suffering in her ailing vessel. Rosemary was a special lady here at BBC. She faithfully attended the services here. She had been an attender here for as long as I had been pastor, so 9 years, and then she had come even before that when my father was pastor here. She was always encouraging to me as she would leave the services. I tried to be at the back and open the door for people, and she always had an encouraging word for me, and I'll miss that from her. She also had a great sense of humor. She loved to crack a smile and loved to laugh. And as her mobility waned over the years and she had to use a walker to get into the church building, I will never forget, almost every time she would say, "Here comes Poke," or what would she say? "Here comes Slowpoke." Yeah, that's what she would say. She had a genuine love for the Lord. And for several years, she was not only faithful here at Bible Baptist, but we also hold a service where she was a resident for many years at Vanadium Woods Village, and she would faithfully attend those as we would go there once a month on Tuesday evenings. When Rita and I would visit with her, she would always, always speak very lovingly of her grandchildren, of her daughter, and especially her great-grandchildren. They brought a huge smile to her face. She'll be greatly missed here at Bible Baptist Church. I'd like to recognize the family. I think they have some words that they'd like to say.
Thank you all for coming. I needed support to get through this. It's said in life on earth is lived between the dash, like you see on a gravestone. Your birth date, your death date, and your life is the dash. And it's difficult to summarize 83 years of life of the dash, but I'm going to try. As you heard in the obituary, my mother was the youngest of three daughters raised on an Indiana farm, and she loved to be outside, play with the animals, run around, get into poison ivy. She was a hot mess with breaking out in rashes and bee stings, and still had a permanent wasp sting right here on her eye. She absolutely loved her sisters, adored her sisters, looked up to her sisters. So thank you if you're watching, Marion and Shirley. We were raised in a Christian home. She was raised in a Christian home. She was the daughter of a mechanic father and a baker and a cook mother, and they were very well respected in the community, and I think she always wanted to aspire to that level of respect also, so she lived her life very straight and narrow. She was a good role model for me. For someone who grew up on a farm and had access to fresh vegetables, the woman would never go outside and never eat a vegetable. If she saw another vegetable, she was going to scream. She would push it away even as recently as like a week before she passed. I do not want to see another carrot. But she could always be found outside in her flower gardens. She took pride in her flower beds, for sure. She played the flute in high school. She was a twirling majorette, and as Pastor Phil said, there's a photo out there of her, I think she might have been a junior or senior in high school. And believe it or not, she loved square dancing, which I guess was a thing in Indiana, and I just found out this morning we had two families here in our church who were avid square dancers. So I never saw her do it, but I would have loved to have seen that. She had very high expectations for me and set the bar high. God, family, and grades were priorities in that order. She did not tolerate any guff, and there was no excuse for not doing your best and working your hardest always. there was one time we had a really severe storm. We lived in a trailer on a highway. Power went out. And I had a piano lesson the next day. And she said, "You are practicing the piano." And I said, "Oh, we don't have any lights." She lit candles. And I had to sit there and practice my lesson because she was not going to be embarrassed and waste a lesson for me not having practiced. So she had, again, very high expectations. She worked full time. She was essentially a single mother, although my extended family was my siblings. My cousins were my siblings. She worked an hour away. So I always had a babysitter, but she always made sure that I had a ride, carpools for all of my after school events. She was very proud of me to have been involved in school and sports. She was my biggest fan. She worked so hard. She never missed a game. She was always in the stands. And for away games, and some of my away games were very far away, she would get on the parent bus, and she would work all day, and then she would go to those games. She was never not in the stands. I could always count on her to be there. When she had the opportunity to relocate from Indianapolis, she didn't want to do it. She said, "I lived my whole life here in Indiana. This is where my family is. I don't want to go." But it was a requirement for her job. Her job was eliminated, so she got transferred to Pittsburgh. I could not have been more excited. I wanted to go to the big city. I couldn't wait to get out of the cornfields and the rural community. But she always missed home. But she stayed. And then she ended up getting transferred to Philadelphia. I did not go. I did not like it there. Sorry if any of you are like Philadelphia. I stayed and made my family here and my home here. She moved back after she retired to be with her grandchildren and now her great-grandchildren. And she absolutely adored them. And she also participated in attending their collegiate sports games also. She was so proud of them, so excited. My mother was very good at organizing. And my aunts, if you're watching, will tell you that means bossy. Even in hospice, probably 2 weeks before she passed, she wanted to make sure I got her taxes filed. And don't file the states because they're going to make you pay. I don't owe state. She was very adamant about paperwork. She was very organized. She was very involved, like we said in the obituary, with her social communities where she lived. Even after she slipped with her health a little bit, she was still very involved. Her faith in God kept her centered and humbled, and we always found comfort in our church family in Indiana and here. So thank you for that. I can only hope that I can continue that on her behalf. So again, her life, the dash, may seem simple, but it was a full life for her. I'm blessed to have had her as my mother. I will always cherish her love and guidance. And now that she has transcended beyond her ailing body, it's my honor to carry on her love of family. She took care of me at the beginning of my dash, and we helped each other throughout our adult lives, and then I helped her on her at the end of her life. So role reversal is inevitable, yet an honor. If you are here today, it's likely because she had an impact on you. So thank you for coming and honoring her. And to her sisters and our extended family who couldn't come today, we are having a service in Indiana, so hopefully I will see you there. We have family in Indiana, Tennessee, and Colorado. And we miss that you are unable to share this experience with us and the remembrance of her, but know that she is still with us in spirit, and she can boss you from up there now. So watch what you do. Her greatest thrill after moving to Pittsburgh was being able to go back home and visit family. So again, if you're watching, thank you for those wonderful memories that we had with our visits in Indiana. Rosemary, thank you for brightening this world with your smile, laughter, and kindness. You will forever be remembered. For your love of family, your fashionable bright clothing and blingy jewelry, and your publisher's clearinghouse obsession. We miss you, Mom, Auntie Rose, Mama, and we thank God for the blessing of having you in our lives. Now go grab a partner and jump into that square dance line in heaven for a final do-si-do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nick. I'm Rosemary's grandson and obviously Angela's son. I just want to thank you all so much for being here to help us send her off on her way to eternal life. It really means a lot that you took some time out of your Saturday to be here and support us and remember her, so thank you. So just to quickly frame up what I want to say about Rosemary, and we called her Mama, but I'm going to call her Rosemary because that's what you all know her as. I'll share with you a scripture verse that God put on my heart in January to guide my entire year. It comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. And it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In the spirit of giving thanks, even in the circumstances of mourning the death of our loved one, I'd like to share why I'm thankful to have had Rosemary as my grandmother. Number one, those who knew her well know that she didn't really cook. She just kind of heated things up in the microwave. But when she did cook, she had some home runs. There was Rosie's pizza, her mac and cheese. Her mom's red velvet cake was unbelievable. And these were some of the best memories I've had with her, was just sitting around her kitchen as a family, eating one of these Midwest delicacies, as I like to call them. Number two, she sacrificed a portion of her retirement time to watch my sister and I when we were young while my parents worked. And this isn't something that she didn't have to do. No grandparent really has to do that, but she did anyway, because she wanted to make that sacrifice for us. So for that, I'm very grateful. Number three, she was present, and I think Pastor Phil and my mom alluded to this quite a bit, but she was present at every one of my sporting events. She didn't miss a single one. She wasn't the loudest cheerleader, but having that extra support on top of my own parents was such a gift. And finally, though she got quieter in her later years, occasionally she'd throw out some witty one-liners with her signature sass that would give us all a good laugh. And there's some stories I can tell after this if you all want to hear some. And so finally, I'd like to close and end with a short prayer. So if you'd all bow your heads with me shortly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift Rosemary was to all of us and how you worked through her in our lives. We thank you for giving her the gift of a peaceful death surrounded by the prayers of her family. May the merciful and sacred heart of Jesus welcome her into your heavenly home. Eternal rest grant unto Rosemary, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon her. In the most holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you all for those beautiful expressions of love for Rosemary. She certainly was a special lady. Talking about the vegetable thing, it just dawned on me. I was remembering the last time we visited Rosemary in I forget where it was. It was one of the facilities that she was in. We were asking, is there anything she would like? And her response was, without missing a beat, a hamburger. She just wanted a hamburger so badly. She certainly is a special lady. Well, we can continue to remember her by singing a hymn that has been of great hope to people at these times, and that is the song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life, dwell with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. It's such a joy to know that it was well with Rosemary's soul. And it was well with her soul because she had a confident faith and hope in Christ as her Savior. She lived her life finding hope in the Good Shepherd. I had the privilege of spending some time with Rosemary the morning before she passed into the presence of her Savior. I cherish those moments when I have the opportunity to speak to someone in their last moments here on earth. And at that last visit, I had the opportunity to read scripture to her. And I read several passages, but I also read the psalm that we began with, Psalm 23. Scripture provides such hope for us. And I know that Rosemary's life was built upon that hope that she had, that this psalm, Psalm 23, points us to. And so I'm sure that today she would want us to know, more than anything else about her, she would want us to know her faith in the Good Shepherd, the hope that she had in the Good Shepherd. And just quickly, I want to share three things that Psalm 23 tells us about how we can have hope in the Good Shepherd. Rosemary herself found contentment in Christ. And that's what this psalm points to. It shows us that God provides a satisfying provision through the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the response to the fact that God is our shepherd is that we shall not want. That we are able to have the provision that we need, the sufficient provision that we need in this life. That provision that God provides is not a sparing provision. He doesn't just give us crumbs. He gives us abundantly above all that we could ask or think, the Apostle Paul describes. The psalmist goes on in verse 2. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The vision and the image that comes to our minds is of a cool brook and a lush green pasture where in a lamb and a whole flock of sheep are able to feed and be at rest. Jesus himself tells us of how he provides everything we need in this life. He goes to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount and he tells them, don't worry about what you're going to put on or what you're going to eat. He says, your heavenly Father knows your needs before you even ask him for them. Then he gives this illustration. He speaks of how if any one of us were to go to our parents who love us and we were to ask them for bread, they're not going to give us a stone. Or if we go to them and we ask them for a fish, they're not going to give us a serpent. We, as human beings, know how to provide lovingly, provide that which is needed. And then Jesus comes and says, if we who are evil, who deal with sin, who struggle with sin, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to each other, how much more does our heavenly Father know how to give good things to those who ask him? And so this psalm points us to the hope that we can have in this life, that the Good Shepherd provides a full and complete provision for us. Not only does he provide for our physical needs, but he also provides for our spiritual needs. And while there's contentment in his provision, there is also contentment in his salvation. The psalmist goes on in verse 3 and says that as the good shepherd leads us beside still waters, he restores our souls. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our good shepherd is a savior who provides for us what we need to have our souls restored. The problem with humanity, the problem with the world in which we live in, is not ultimately involved with the environment in which we live, the lack of education, the socioeconomic issues that we find. The problem with this world is sin. It is a cancer that infects the soul, and it is a cancer that kills and degrades and causes all sorts of misery on the face of this earth. Maybe you're here today and you feel that misery. You need your soul to be restored. Rosemary found hope for her troubled soul in the restoration that her Savior, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, gives to all who call to him. It's interesting that as the psalmist speaks of him restoring his soul, then he speaks of the Good Shepherd leading him in the paths of righteousness. The opposite of righteousness is the infection of sin that degrades and corrupts our souls. But Christ provides righteousness so that our souls can be restored. It's not found in us producing that righteousness. We don't do good things or go through a list of rules that we seek to keep to somehow make us righteous. It is God who leads us in the paths of righteousness. Our hope must be cast upon him alone as the good shepherd who leads us into these things. And so Rosemary found contentment in her good shepherd who provided great provision for her throughout her life and who provided the ultimate provision of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, of righteousness that restores our souls. Not only did Rosemary find contentment in Christ, she also found comfort in Christ. Verse 4 of Psalm 23 is probably one of the most well-known verses of the psalm, and particularly it is what we hang on to when we come to gatherings like this where we mourn the loss, the death of a loved one. And the question I think that we often find is as we encounter difficulty and we encounter suffering in this world, is the righteousness, is the restoration that God gives us enough to carry us on from this world to the next? And notice what the psalmist says. He says that the restoration that God gives through his good shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That even when we face the most difficult circumstances in life, the fact that our Savior provides this restoration gives us hope that we fear no evil. We look at this and it's referred to as the valley of the shadow of death. It actually probably more correctly translated the valley of deep darkness. And certainly as we journey from this life to the next, there is a darkness, an unknown aspect of what death brings. And so it's appropriate to refer to it as the valley of the shadow of death. And notice that Rosemary, who trusted in the hope found in this passage, she feared no evil. Why? For you are with me. For the believer in Christ, for the one who has turned to him as their only hope, no one who trusts in Christ dies alone. They die and go from this life to the next with the presence of Christ with them. Rosemary is no longer here in this world. She no longer inhabits her physical body, but she has passed on into the presence of her Savior, and it was her Savior who walked with her through that valley of the shadow of death that she could fear no evil. She found comfort in that security that he brought. She found comfort in his presence. It's interesting, as the good shepherd is with the sheep in verse 4 of Psalm 23, it speaks of how his rod and his staff, they comfort him. That there is comfort and hope in the reality that Jesus does not just simply come to us when we pass from this life to the next. But the scriptures tell us, Jesus himself tells us, that if we come and we believe in him, if we trust in him, that he and his Father will come and make their home with us. So that as Rosemary passed from this life to the next, she passed with someone that she had lived her life in his presence because of her faith in Jesus Christ. And she would want nothing more than for all of you here today to have that same hope, to trust and rest in the good shepherd who guides and directs you, not simply through the dark valleys, not simply through the valley of the shadow of death, but he will come to all who trust in him, and he will guide you through every moment in life. Rosemary found contentment in Christ. She found comfort in Christ. And then finally, as the psalmist points to, Rosemary herself found hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. We all need hope. Wasn't it just a few election cycles ago that was President Obama's main focus? Hope. That was what was on his posters. Hope, hope. People are looking for hope. And there is only one place where we can truly find hope, and it is in the Good Shepherd. Look at the hope that the Good Shepherd provides. He provides hope for every day. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I don't know what situations you may be facing here today. I don't know what difficulties may be in your life today. They may be small. They may be big. They may be not so painful. You may come here with a greatly heavy heart. But when you look to the Good Shepherd, He provides and protects and gives a preparation before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. And when you come to Christ, you come to the one in whom is the fountain of living waters. So that your cup is not simply filled, it what? Overflows. Rosemary found hope for Christ for her every day, but she ultimately found hope in Christ for all eternity. Verse 6 ends, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, I wonder if we really believe that, that if we turn to Christ, that every day we face, it is goodness and mercy that God gives us through the hand of our Savior. And that goodness and mercy that carries us through the everyday, it gives us hope so that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was Rosemary's great hope. She is and has begun dwelling in the house of the Lord, and she will persist in that hope forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ was her good shepherd. Jesus Christ was the one she looked to as her great hope. And I know that she would want every single one of you here today, if you're watching online, she would want this hope for every single one of you as well. That you would have the same hope she had. Hope that goes beyond this world, that gives you hope that you will dwell with the Lord in His house forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the hope we have in it, Lord, and we thank You for the testimony that Rosemary had that showed and pointed to this great hope. Father, I pray that You would encourage our hearts with this hope. And Father, if there is someone here today who does not know You, who has not turned to Christ for salvation, I pray, Father, that today You would take this message and apply it to their hearts. Father, work as only You can here today. We pray this in Christ's precious name, pleading His blood. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, Oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'd like us to look and close with a passage of Scripture, a verse or a chapter before what Nick had quoted for us. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We'll sing one more song, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Go with these words from Scripture. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This concludes our memorial service. I again want to express my thanks on behalf of the family for your attendance here today to remember Rosemary. And there is a luncheon that we'd like to, that Angela and the family would like to invite you all to come and to share with us right now. Thank you so much for coming. Go with God's grace and peace.